Thank you, Jenny, for reading that, and thank you, Martin, for leading our worship. And I hope you're not tired of this passage that's been read for us. It all holds together. It's a passage that stands together. Although my task is to take verses 8 and 9, you can't just jump into verse 8. So I would ask you, if you have a Bible or get a Bible in front of you, to look at the whole passage and just notice what is happening before we come to verse 8. Because you see, verse 8 is quite different. It's the end result of all that's being has been said. You'll notice in verses 3 to 9 that we have hope in verse 3 and faith in verse 7 and verse 9, and we come to love in verse 8. Faith, hope, and love. That is so common in the New Testament, isn't it, in Paul's writings? But you see, also added to love in our verses today, verses 8 and 9, joy is added. And I always long for that. I always long for joy. I sometimes find that people are full of joy and I wonder, is it real? You know, do they really know what life's all about when they sing so joyfully and jump up and down and praise God? I say, what's wrong with me, David? I can't do that. Well, maybe this meditation will help us. There are many Muslims in our world today who have seen Jesus. That's wonderful, isn't it? So our text is, though you have not seen him, you love him. We haven't seen him. Many Muslims have. And Jesus has spoken to them and shown them and said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And they come to know Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? But you haven't seen him. I haven't seen him. Though we have not seen him, we love him, don't we? In 70 years of loving him and serving him, I've never seen him. Just once I heard his voice. I believe it was his voice speaking. And what he said was actually the two words that he spoke on the cross. I thirst. I'm thirsty. And that speaks to my heart, maybe in a different kind of way. I know that in this congregation there are many who are thirsty and they're suffering. That's what Emilian has been talking about in this passage. They're going through trials, difficulties. And so that spoke to my self-centered living. If Jesus could thirst and take my thirst and my sin and my shame, then I can go on loving and serving him. And I often used to say, sometimes I would say to Gwyneth, I wonder if I do really love him. I don't think I love him now as I used to love him once when we first went out to Africa and served as missionaries. And she would say to me, David, of course you do. And she's right. I do love him. I haven't seen him, but I love him. And you see, love is shown not in what we say. It's not words. It's not songs. It's devotion. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Have you noticed how these verses lead up to this? It's speaking about an inheritance. It's speaking about the hope that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It speaks of an inheritance that's being kept and reserved for us in heaven. It won't spoil or fade. It speaks about our faith, which is shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is to be revealed in the last days. You see, catch the theme, catch the excitement, catch the meaning of these verses. That's what's coming, folks. It's that salvation which is being revealed now and one day will be fully revealed. And in this, you greatly rejoice, even though for a while you have to suffer various trials, various difficulties, so that your faith may be proved genuine. And you remember that we heard about that last week, and we saw the refining of the gold. So it may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Do you know the story of the young man declaring his love for his girlfriend? You know that story? And he wrote a letter to her. And he wrote in glowing terms. He said, "I would go through fire, I would go through water, I would go through any difficulty, you know, to showing his love." And then he put a P.S. at the end of the letter. P.S. I'll see you on Friday if it's fine. That's the kind of love some of us have, isn't it? If it's fine. It isn't often fine, actually, for those of us who love the Lord Jesus and who seek to serve him. There's more fire than fine, I would suggest. And we saw that last week, the fire of the furnace. Listen to the words of F.B. Meyer. "We may question whether we ever truly drink of Christ's joy till all other sources of joy are eliminated." That's the process of the refining, you see. "Till all other sources of joy are eliminated by earthly sorrow. Love is measured not by feelings, but by acts. You have Christ by just as much as you are prepared to do, or to suffer, or to give up for him." That's love. We love him even though we've not seen him. We love him. And we show our love by what we do and what we don't do. So let's look at the gold of faith in verse 7 again. We saw that last week. Let's see it again in the context of what I'm trying to say. Verse 7. "These griefs have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold," and then notice this, "which perishes, even though refined by fire, that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." So you see, the gold and the process of the refining is not to produce the gold in our life, because that will perish. Isn't it interesting? The most precious thing on earth, the most wonderful thing that people sell their lives for, gold, possessions, money, wealth, it's all going to perish. But your faith won't perish. Your faith is different. It's being refined like gold, yes, but it's not gold. And your faith is going to be revealed one day when Jesus is revealed. And let's think about that for a moment. The praise that I find so difficult sometimes, although I didn't find it difficult this morning, Martin, thank you for those choices, and I think Martin chose those songs because he knew what the passage was. It's what he always does, actually. The praise will come readily one day when Jesus Christ is revealed. Notice Jesus Christ. Jesus the man. Jesus was human. Jesus suffered. Jesus was a man of sorrows. Jesus said, "I thirst." Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Jesus wept over Lazarus's death. Jesus was totally human. And when Jesus, the Christ, is revealed, there will be praise and glory and honor. Who for? Who for? You and me? No. Him. Him. The praise, the honor, and the glory will all go to Him. Hallelujah. And so often we get it wrong. We think, oh, this suffering, oh dear, this terrible time. Oh dear, but my faith is being tried, so I'm going to be in glory one day. Yes, it's true. But we'll be in glory because He is in glory. And His praise and His honor will be for all the wondering worlds to see. And we will be part of that. Wow. It's wonderful, isn't it? Praise doesn't come readily yet, for me anyway. It's just like joy. It doesn't come readily. But the gold of our faith is being refined. The gold of our faith. Because the refining is necessary and continual, but the gold will also perish. The glory and honor will be for Jesus, I've already said this, when He is revealed. Hallelujah. And we will share in His glory. Listen to how the Message puts it. It's your faith, not your gold, which will be on display. Hear that again. It's not the gold, it's the faith that is being refined, like gold, and one day your faith will shine. The gold of faith, and notice here the goal of faith, secondly. See, I've divided the verse 8 up into two very obvious divisions, the goal of faith and the goal of faith. Even though, says the second part of verse 8, even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled, notice this, filled with an inexpressible and glorious, what? Joy. Oh. That's what I find difficult. That's what, when the pressures come and the suffering and the sorrow comes and all the things that press in on me, I find it difficult to rejoice. But one day, there will be an inexpressible, it isn't easy to express my joy now. You are receiving, that's the present participle for those of you who know English grammar, you are receiving. You are receiving. You are receiving. You're keeping on receiving. What? The goal of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul. We are realizing and enjoying this salvation now. You are receiving it so you can be joyous. David, you can be joyous. But not only are you receiving here, notice there's another participle, which is in the present continuous tense. You are believing. Now that doesn't come out in the NIV, but let's look at the King James Version. The Authorized Version, which says, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, and that is in the present, continues. You are believing. So you are receiving and you are believing. So of course you can rejoice. David. The habitual activity, the believing, that's the faith. Habitually believing, going on believing, being refined, that faith being refined. And notice it's put together with in whom. Again, the authorized, the NIV doesn't bring this out, but it's the King James does. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice. So you are believing and you are receiving. And in whom it all happens. And because of whom, Jesus, it all happens. So it's movement into Christ. It's union with Christ. Our whole faith, our whole being is in Christ, which enables us to what? Rejoice, David. Okay? So, I hope this passage is beginning to grip you. It's the third week, and next week Philip will be taking the next two or three verses. Movement into and union with Christ. In whom? And so the revealing of Jesus, which is still to come, is of one, the Lord Jesus, who is already present with us now. Hey, this is fantastic. I tell you, it's been a real help to me to study this passage these last 2 weeks. You see, it's something we have now. It'll be more fully revealed then. The goal of our faith. And I happily confess that some of these thoughts have come from the Reverend Alan Stibbs. It was actually Alan Stibbs who was a missionary in China when, as a lad of 14, I first heard him speak. And he spoke on the verse in Corinthians that set me off on the Christian path of Christian service 70 years ago. Jesus died, we died. He rose again, we rose in him, that we're to live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died for us and rose again. So listen to Alan Stibbs. We daily experience fellowship with the living, unseen Lord. We haven't seen him, but we love him. And we know his fellowship day by day. We have a present joy because we are receiving, we are receiving the salvation of our soul. We're already receiving it, so we praise the Lord, don't we, David? We share beforehand in the glory of the coming full revelation of Christ at his coming. So I've been filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. I don't find it easy to express. This is a wonderful reassurance for me, I tell you. The inexpressible joy, this deep joy, not easily expressed. Joy now, because joy then. It doesn't much matter what happens to our bodies as we undergo the refining now, that terrible furnace that you showed us last week, Jonathan. And that's how it seems, isn't it? Doesn't it? It often feels like that. Oh, what next? Just as I was coming in this morning, I commented to Jenny and Gwyneth that every traffic light turned to red just as I got to it. And that's nothing, is it? But boy, things come wham, 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 don't they, in our lives. So you see, it doesn't much matter because we're being refined. And this joy which we can't easily express, we do express it. How? Not in our lips, but our lives, mostly. And notice it's glorious joy. And that is literally glorified joy. That is the joy that's already irradiated with the glory of heaven. Folks, this is exciting stuff. The joy that we have now, so difficult, David, is heavenly joy. It's irradiated with the joy of heaven. Hallelujah. That's what's coming. So get on with it now. Put up with it now. Serve the Lord now. Trust the Lord now. Do you understand what this passage is saying? It's inexpressible joy. It's glorious joy. Glorified joy. So our joy, with this I finish, our joy is because we love him even though we have not seen him. And our joy is because we are in him and one day we will see him. Hallelujah. Amen. It's blessed me. I hope it'll bless someone here who's struggling. It's not pie in the sky. It's what's happening now. We are receiving the salvation of our souls. And so we can be filled with joy. Because what's happening now will be fully revealed then, when we are revealed with the Jesus who will have all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. That's what this refining process is all about. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this wonderful passage. Though we have not seen him, we love him. And though we don't see him even now, we believe in him and rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us to rejoice in it now. In his name we pray. Amen.